This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Johnny Miller won 25 times on the PGA Tour, including a couple of major championships. He's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. He's in his 25th year as lead analyst for NBC's golf coverage, and next week, covering the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. It's always a pleasure to welcome Johnny Miller back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Johnny.
Yeah, John, nice to be on the show again. It's always a pleasure.
When you were playing, was the U.S. Open the toughest major to win?
I think it's still the toughest major to win, but yeah, it's always been the toughest. As Tony Lima, who is sort of my childhood idol, he said, you know, the Masters is fun at the top, and the U.S. Open is just a grind. You know, they set it up tougher, and the Masters got a lot of pressure, but it's become possibly the most important major in some ways to the players, but you'd think that the U.S. Open, the international championship, would be bigger. And of course, the British is the world's championship. But U.S. Open, there's something about the U.S. Open. The USGA gets their jollies out of, you know, really making a difficult test and making the greens firm and you know, just doing a lot of things that get in people's psyche, so to speak. Like Thursday, I always thought the USGA on purpose, Thursday's round is the hardest hole setups, and just the way they set it up to sort of break you. You know what I'm saying? They want to break your will and get you complaining, and then you know, a lot of guys do. They lose it. They can't play their normal game. It's just a lot of pressure and tough courses.
When in your career, when you played Pinehurst number 2, did you play it well?
Yeah, the first World Open there in 74, I think I opened with 75 and then broke the course record with 63 on Friday. It possibly could have been Saturday, but I ended up in a four-way playoff with Nicholas Murphy and Frank Beard, and I hit a three-wood from about 245, about 10 feet from the hole, and all I had to do was two-putt to win it, you know, for birdie and win the World Open there. And then a couple years later, when I was coming out of my slump, that sort of got me out of my slump. I lost in a playoff to Tom Watson. So Pinehurst for me was the perfect golf course because pretty hard driving, but it really rewards the best iron players. And that was in the mid-70s. I believe I was the best mid to short iron player in the game. I think that was pretty universally accepted. And so Pinehurst was the ultimate test for how good of an iron player you are with those raised greens and fall-offs.
What do you think of what Ben and Bill have done to the golf course?
Well, you know, I'm just getting, you know, all the information I can, but I haven't been on site yet. I have all my notes from the last go-around, and Michael Campbell won the super surprise winner there, and of course covered the 99, the Peyton Stewart great finish there against Phil Mickelson. So, you know, I think the course in some ways, the greens I think are the same. It has been lengthened some holes, and then of course there's almost no rough, so I almost can't imagine what that's going to be like, especially the fairways are going to be much wider than they were on the World Open and those U.S. Opens. And I mean, the rough that we had at the World Open when I won, it was about 6 inches longer than any U.S. Open they play nowadays. But with no rough and wider fairways, if it just happens to get rain, any rain or gets the greens softer than the USGA wants, you know, there could be some pretty low scores going on.
We are talking with Johnny Miller from NBC Sports. Are we romanticizing Phil's chances at Pinehurst a little too much?
Well, Phil is just, you know, I always say he's the greatest guy to commentate because he not only does great things, he does dumb things, and he tries things he shouldn't, and he has I got a million things to talk about when I'm covering him. And of course, I'm sure he has some warm and fuzzy feelings since the Peyton Stewart loss. But that's a long time ago. And, of course, the British Open win was totally out of left field. I mean, he'd never really even played any good at all at a British Open. Then he wins. But that's Phil. Phil doesn't knock on the door with a million seconds and thirds normally, except for the U.S. Open. When he's on, he can beat everybody. And when he isn't, he just plays mediocre. He doesn't have really a middle gear where he does a bunch of top 10s, or top 20s like a Tom Kite used to, and guys like the Kuchar types. The guy's won, a lot of tournaments, and he's an unbelievable career. If it wasn't for Tiger, he would be the man. But for him to win is really a long shot. But for Phil, it's all about that first round, I believe, for him, because that'll show whether he's got it or not, or whether his game plan makes any sense. Remember Torrey Pines, where Tiger beat Rocco, he didn't even carry a driver. That was a weird plan he had. So you never know what kind of plan that he has, or whether he's just going to heat up high and hang on his backside and just hit it as hard as he can off the tee and say, well, I'm never going to hit any fairways anyway. I might as well get away down there. That's sort of one of his, thinking. So I don't know if his game is that great. It hasn't been that great this year. He's not won this year. So for him to win is really a super long shot, but seems to come close, obviously. Was he got 6 second places at the U.S. Open? That's nuts.
If there's a school of thought that if he does not win at Pinehurst, he probably doesn't win a U.S. Open. As he's getting older, do you fall that train of thought?
No, you never can't fall anything with Phil. Anybody that thinks that he can predict Phil is an idiot. Okay, you can go from there. I mean, there's just no way. That guy, he could miss a cut 20 tournaments in a row and then win the Masters. I mean, you just don't know. When he gets it going, he doesn't choke. He can finish off a tournament. It's just for him, it's a case of getting in the mix. And he gets in the mix, most of the time he stays in the mix. So, it'd be great for our ratings. I mean, he is the guy. I mean, with Tiger out, he is the guy that is going to push the ratings. I mean, Spieth's another one, of course, and there's a lot of Bubba and different guys. And Bubba, of course, has, got the Masters under his belt and go for number two. But it's going to be real interesting to follow Phil, and I think it's going to be possibly his last U.S. Open at Pinehurst.
You mentioned Tiger. He's never been a big fan of golf after August. Do you think we see Tiger this year?
Yes, I absolutely. He is chawing at the bit big time. I think a lot of guys, mark this down, a lot of guys have learned from looking at those FedEx points that if you don't play those events in October, in November, or whatever, and get some points going, like Jimmy Walker got off to that hot start, winning three times, won the first one, of course, the Fries, and he got ahead, and he's still ahead. I mean, it's really buoyed his confidence, and there's rumors that Tiger is going to play. He doesn't always commit solidly, but that he will play maybe a fall event or two, and he's going to want to probably try the PGA too. I don't know how the back's doing. I really don't. I don't know how strict his doctors are, but it's hard for me to believe that he wouldn't maybe think about playing at Firestone right before the PGA and some of those events. But I think he's going to come back pretty darn strong. I hope if he can drive the ball well.
Before I let you go, this will obviously be your 25th U.S. Open as a broadcaster. What's the one that sticks in your head?
No doubt about it. The greatest performance in the history of golf is 2000 U.S. Open by Tiger, winning by over 15 shots. Set the U.S. Open record at the time. And we covered every putt he hit. He didn't lip out one putt in 72 holes. They either missed cleanly or went in, which is impossible on bumpy Poana greens at Pebble. You usually have a lot of lip outs because the balls are bouncing around. It was almost surreal. It was almost with a small G, godly. And, that's the top of his powers. But the first one I did, the Corey Pavin, Shinnecock with a shot of his life, I called him the last hole, was right up there. The Payne Stewart making those three great putts in a row at Pinehurst to steal it away. Those ones, even the Rocco and Tiger, that putt that we had, that amazing camera angle at Torrey Pines behind it on the last hole to see that thing sort of bouncing around going down the hill and looks like it's going to miss right and somehow goes in. Of course, he wins the playoff. But, there's a lot of great memories. For me, being my last U.S. Open, it's pretty tough. I mean, I'm going to probably have withdrawals, but it hasn't hit me totally yet, but it probably will on Sunday of the U.S. Open.
He is Johnny Miller. He will be at the U.S. Open, as always, at Pinehurst in a couple of weeks. Johnny, as always, thank you for taking the time to do this. I always appreciate it.
My pleasure, and it should be a super U.S. Open. We'll see who's hot that week.